Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 7 Cents Cosmo podcast. Joining me, of course, is my friend Louis Zavala.
Louis Zavala, right here, everybody. Boom. How you doing over there, Simon?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing okay and excited to speak about one of our favorite subjects right now.
Absolutely. So now we're going to move on. In this week's episode, we're going to move to episode 2. And according to the Netflix listing, this would be considered season 1, episode 2. This episode is called Burn, Pegasus Ryusaken, or Pegasus Yuseiken, or Pegasus Meteor Punch. And it aired on October 18th, 1986 in Japan.
Yeah, crazy. Yes. 80s child over here, so yeah.
Yes, you probably would think I would say 2021 or something, right?
No. Yeah.
86. No. Before we continue on, we want to make sure that to let everyone know that there are going to be spoilers. So if you haven't watched the episodes yet, please watch them first, come back, and then follow us, listen to us, watch us, talk about this episode.
Definitely. That's a really good move, especially for anyone who has not seen this. Go watch it, please.
So the fight between Unicorn Jabu and Lionet Bond. So we kind of saw that little snippet at the beginning of the first episode. But now we get kind of more of this full-fledged viewing of the actual fight between these two Bronze Saints.
And we also get to see that arena. Yeah.
Yeah. Also that Coliseum arena.
Yeah.
And what did you think of the fight between Unicorn and Lionette?
All right. So first and foremost, I got to just present one thing. One of my first notes that I made when I was watching this one, this is kind of like, I don't mean to like jump it into a different era, but the narrator, the way the narrator sounds like in the English dub, does kind of sound like a old storybook teller and speaks kind of like this, which I found kind of interesting. But like that out of the way, it's just like it was a little bit odd to hear that. But at the same time, I remember when they started showing they're showing Unicorn and they're showing Seiya in the arena. This is the first time we're seeing the Coliseum. We're seeing the way the fight actually looks like. We're seeing, personally, it makes it really hard to tell whether this is the future or the past. That's just my opinion. Where I'm like, I'm not sure when it's supposed to take place, but it definitely kind of like, it feels like it could go either way. But something that happens is that this battle tends to go fast. Sayori is watching, apparently, with the way I'd like to say it, she kind of seems like she's worried about something. Very, very interesting throughout these first episodes. Like, what is Sayori's role in all this? The battle ends, but then when the battle ends, you see Sayori kind of like, you know, like letting a sigh of relief, which again, it's like, well, clearly Seiya, clearly there's something. There's a reason that she has an agenda that's going on. We don't know what that agenda actually is, though. So,
yeah.
So far, sets up a very intriguing idea. It's like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, and she often likes to talk to her deceased adopted grandfather, Itsumasa Kido.
Yes.
Quite often.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like her guidance in a way.
Yeah, it almost kind of makes you wonder, like, are they actually communicating, or are these things that she just talked about him in the past, she's recollecting right now? It's not quite known.
And we also see that Seiya finally, you know, makes it to Japan, and,
yeah,
you know, he gets reacquainted, quote-unquote, with, you know, Sayori. But also, we also get this nice introduction to Tatsumi.
Yeah.
You know, the butler.
The butler. That's what I know him as.
The butler that, you know, if Louis shave off his beard, it'll look exactly like him. And that's just
Yeah. Yeah, maybe for Halloween. But I mean, he gets his ass kicked.
Well, I mean, to be honest, he could kick your ass.
Yeah, that's true. That's
kick
true.
Both of our asses.
Both of us, yeah, at the same time. Yeah, but
yeah. But no, Seiya's there, and now we know we kind of get like why Seiya had to go to Greece and get the Pegasus cloth. His intention is really revealed here is that it's like, look, I made a deal with your grandfather. Is that mm-hmm. if I get this Pegasus cloth, I get reunited with my lost sister, with my sister.
Exactly.
You took me away from the orphanage. You separated exactly. me from the sister. So say
so now no, we have a reason. Yeah.
So Saya has no reason or no interest to become a saint.
Exactly. He's doing it because he feels he has to, not because he wants to. He has no interest in being the best, greatest ever in any of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. So it's like, I only did it because I want to see my sister again.
Yeah. Comes down to family. Always comes down to family.
And then Sayori tells Saya that, her grandfather passed away. So
yeah,
she wasn't aware of this so-called deal that they made.
Yeah. And it kind of infuriates Saya. You know, it's like, well, I don't care if you don't know about it. This is the deal.
Yeah. And then guess who comes in the door? Unicorn Jabu.
Yep.
Yeah. Unicorn Jabu comes in and is like, hey, you better apologize to Sayori. Sayori's kind of like, to be honest, she's a rich, spoiled princess.
Yeah, privileged princess, almost like a Zelda-like character, so to speak.
Exactly. And, Jabu has always been loyal to her.
Yeah.
Kind of
like the friend zone kind of guy.
Yeah. And then Saya and Jabu kind of, get in a little fight. And then Saya, as always, doing his little smack talk, is like, oh, yep. Yeah, you're always sucking up to her.
Yes, to put it lightly. Yeah. Yeah.
You're always sucking up to her. And it's like, because, show a flashback of Sayori as a kid and Jabu as a kid. And, Sayori kind of treats her like a horse. Do you mean like the horseback?
Yeah.
And very much so. I remember saying, I said, like, what animal you're going to be this time? kind of like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, that's why I like, Saya and Jabu, like, they smack talk.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, one thing I was going to say too, speaking on specifically Saya's reaction to hearing about, the grandfather, the original deal maker. He died 5 years ago. Okay, he actually seems very pissed, not disappointed, but angry for some reason. So that's one of the elements that we're probably going to have to get answered as future episodes go on. So why was that reaction? We're gonna find out. That's all I got to say for right now.
Yeah,
because he did not seem like it wasn't one of those where he finds out. Oh no, I'm gonna start crying. He's like, no, he actually seemed angry, and not angry in the sad way, so to speak. Yeah.
So in order to get Saya to fight in the Galaxian Wars tournament, Sayori tells Saya that, look, if you fight and you win, I'll use all the resources of the Grodd Foundation, which is owned by her grandfather, and basically she now owns it. Use all the resources to find your sister, but you have to fight in this tournament.
It's kind of a bait way to do it, because what it is like that, like, his sister's bound to be watching this no matter what. So it's kind of like drawing her out, so to speak, is the plan, so to speak.
Or so we thought.
Or so we thought we should say.
Yeah. So Saya didn't want to. And then he was about to walk out the door. Then Jabu was like, hey, you can walk out, but that cloth stay here. Your Pegasus cloth stay here. And then, of course, they start fighting with some of their saint powers.
Yes.
Their saint cosmos. And Saya got mad, throws one punch at Jabu, and he just walks out. And then Tatsumi is like, I think he got mad. And then,
yeah.
Saya retells, just stop. No, he's going to fight. Saya's going to fight.
Like, she knows that she they don't have, like, they think that, oh, he's just walking away. No, he's not walking away. He's in. Like, Sayori knows his personality by this point. So, and it's something that we as the audience at this point are like, okay, we're going to have to take her word, mainly on the fact that Sayori knows his personality. She knows that she's got him right there.
Got him right there.
Right there.
And after that, we see Saya visiting, the orphanage that he was in.
Yes.
Visit his old friend, Miho.
Miho,
poor Miho.
Poor little thing.
Poor Miho. All I say is don't get too attached to this character.
Yeah, it'll save you.
Yeah, it will save you. It's like nothing bad happens. It's just how the show goes.
The way that the show will go in a... It takes a hard left turn.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Yeah, it does.
But you would know, we see Seiya like asking Miho, like, when was the last time you saw my sister? You know, it's like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of like, no, she couldn't say, she didn't know. But she also pointed out to Seiya, like, well, if you fight in the war, you know, it's being televised throughout the whole world. Your sister will see it, is bound to see it.
Yeah.
So Seiya, it's like, oh, thank you for telling me that. No, I get it now.
It's the extra little boost that he needs. It's also the very first time, I would say, in the series where we get our first look at the Christian symbolism that's going on in the background, like, especially at the orphanage and stuff like that, where I'm like, well, wherever the existence is, religion still plays a part in this world. So interestingly enough, for audiences who are watching this, as far as I'm concerned, through my first watch through, it does not beat you over the head with religion. No, it's just a nice little touch that they added to that in this world, which I thought was pretty interesting how they mixed that in.
Yes. Nice. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, but... exactly. It was just, I was like, oh, wow, there you go. Yeah.
So then we go to the next scene where Seiya is about to fight. Puts on his Pegasus cloth. His first opponent is Bear Geki.
Yeah,
Bear Geki. The Bear Saint, who is like extremely way taller than him and bulkier than him.
Yeah.
But we also know what is the grand prize if they win this tournament. It is the gold cloth.
The gold cloth. Yeah.
So whichever saint goes through, you know, finishes all the rounds, becomes the ultimate champion, they get that gold cloth.
Exactly. And again, now we know why, well, at least for the competitors, we're now seeing why they want to enter and what they're getting, what's their prize. And since we've already gotten a glimpse of what the bronze one, you know, what these cloths do so far, you can only imagine what the gold ones can do.
Yes. And then we see Seiya fighting Geki. And you know, at first, Geki kind of gets the upper hand.
Yes, quite a bit, actually. Yeah. And to the point that Miho even starts to pray.
Yeah, and then Seiya is trying to break free as much as he can. But, you know, basically, Geki's, like, choking him. And then Geki kind of, like, talks about, oh, I trained with bears. And
he strangled him with his bare hands.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. I was like,
it is.
Geki, what are you doing? That's how you train? It's
like, I know.
What are you doing?
And also the sound effects, you're just, like, you're here, like, it's, like, really, really violent sounding, you know?
Yeah, and then it seems like Seiya is about to be defeated because he was going to get choked out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the announcer makes it a point that people can die in the arena. That's just part of what happens. That's something they need. It's not like, oh, some referee is going to come in and call, you know, it's over or something like that. No, it's like you can get defeated. And part of getting defeated, if you die in the ring, you die. Yeah.
Yeah, very true. And we've seen it before.
Yep, we have seen it before. And we're going to see it many more times.
And, you know, Seiya's hoping his sister's watching. And that's what really gives him the courage to break, you know, or shatter Geki's cloth.
Yes.
You know, at least in the arm part.
Yes,
exactly. He shatters it. And then he did this one kick. But that basically ended the battle. What people didn't realize, it was a kick with a bunch of, you know, meteor punches.
Yes.
Or meteor.
Very, very fast.
Never really see him do that again, to be honest.
Actually, you're right. I think this is the only time that that they say, at least, that this is the first time that he does that, and only time, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know?
So there's like a bunch of attacks, punches or kicks throughout Geki. So like Geki kind of stands up, you know, when the battle's over. And then he falls down and then his cloth shatters.
Exactly. All of it.
No. And I think there was an animation mistake. So when the part where Geki is falling down, because he just got beaten up by Seiya, his cloth shatters.
Yes.
Okay? And then later, like very briefly afterwards, it cuts to him like lying on the ground, but then we still see his cloth. Like he's already fainted.
That's like, probably, that sounds like an animation mistake. That happened a lot during.
Did you notice it?
I didn't notice until you just said it. You're like, wait a minute, there was a weird edit, because I was like, you're right, that did happen.
Yeah, I was like, wait, his cloth is gone already. Why is he still wearing it?
And they recycled the wrong shot is what it was.
Yeah, and it was just so strange. I just like, oh, okay. I guess
exactly. This kind of stuff happens a lot in the 80s and 90s anime. They did recycle animations, and continuity was not always the thing that they focused on. Mistakes are bound to happen, you know?
Yeah, so Seiya finally wins his first round. He moves on to the second one, and, you know, poor Geki.
Yeah.
what did you think of this particular Bronze Saiyan Geki?
Okay, so for this one, I would say at first I was actually really kind of sort of just on the anger side of it, because the fact that he kind of like, first of all, he's like, the way he's strangling, the way he's like, it looks like it could be over before everything even started, right?
Right.
The part that I would have to say that really got me to change my mind and now actively hate, when they flashback showing him attacking the bears, that was when I go, oh, you kill animals. Okay, you know, you kill animals for sport with your bare hands and you brag about it. And then it's just like, again, at that point, I was like, oh, it was like really like I know that, you know, I just like animals, even if it's like, you know, portrayed like this. One of the notes that I think that I kept on laughing at is that Bear kept on talking about his arms and muscles, and I thought that was hilarious, because I'm just like, you know, I go to the gym myself too, and there are people who I'm like, yep, that's Bear Gaffey right there. I was like, that's one of them right there. There's one of them right there. It was like you're the kind of person who will kiss your bicep after you finish doing a set. So yeah, that's what it kind of came out to. But like at the same time, it was a really well-deserved way that he gets defeated. But also, I thought it was kind of interesting to see yet again, at least for the English dub version, Seiya's a real smartass in this one, and he really is, like, straight up smack talk. But, like, at the same time...
Well, we got to remember, these are still young teens.
Yes.
They act like, you know, sometimes when, you know, later down, even when you're watching the series a little more, you sometimes forget that...
It's easy to forget their age. Yeah,
their age. And it's weird because they act more adult when they get, you know, later on in the series.
Exactly. But
even here, they still sometimes act way more adult than actual, like, teenage.
Much more. Well, let's put it this way. I mean, as I had referenced in the first episode, there's a lot of elements that I feel reminded me a little bit of Fist of the North Star. And in many ways, it's weird to say that sometimes the characters in Saint Seiya feel like they're older than the characters in Fist of the North Star, despite the ones in Fist of the North Star are way older and supposed to be way older. But like at the same time, one note that I did want to say in this episode, I think that there is no secret anymore that, yeah, Sayori has definitely got an agenda going on right here. Definitely got an agenda. She has a story that she's not telling anybody, at least not the audience, but she's hyper focused on this battle, and almost like there's something significant to be lost if something happens to Seiya, whether that means that he wins or loses against a very specific opponent, not sure, but that is an observation I made, especially towards the end.
Very nice. And I think my take for this episode was, it's really that moment in the mansion with Sayori, Jabu, you know.
Yeah.
That whole review, and then kind of, I really like the conflict between Sayori and Jabu, and it just sucks that we never get to see that again.
Yeah, we don't.
Just don't. And I got really disappointed.
Well, like, what's interesting is that it goes back to that same thing that we were saying, is that like there are themes and there are moments in this show that it does not apologize for, you know? There is loss, and there are things that happen, characters that you won't see, or interactions that will only happen one time, very much like real life, actually. And believe it or not, people, this is the lighthearted moment of the series.
Yeah, these are the lighthearted moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you are thinking of like, what? There's even more intense moments, like, oh, yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen the start of it at this point.
You haven't seen nothing yet.
No, you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. Quite a bit of the emotional roller coaster for this one. I would have to say, of the episodes so far, this one has one of the more emotional kind of sort of like hues that they have in there. Although episode 3 has one of my favorite moments, we'll get to that one. But yeah, this is a pretty damn rock solid second episode. Also, a very nice little step of what's yet to come. The themes of love and loss and stuff like that. These are things that you're going to start seeing, and you're going to start seeing a lot more of.
But everyone, what do you think of this episode? You know, did you like the fight between Seiya and Geki? What are the moments you like? What are the moments you don't like? And what did you think of the soundtrack? Let us know in the comments below. And again, if you do like these videos, please make sure to subscribe to our channel, hit that like button, hit that bell notification so you get notified of when these new videos do come out and being released. Also, if you want to listen to this as a podcast format, we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google. And also, you can follow us on Instagram at The Seven Sense Cosmo.
No matter where you're at, you have there's going to be something available. So check us out, please.
Absolutely. But until next time, keep your Cosmo burning.
Yes.